What do you mean, ill?
Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott, and you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. Here with Chris, you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. And I'm here with Damien, you can find on Twitter at Damien Johnston. You can find the Facebook at thefacebook.com/reviewandroast. And, you know, we also have an Instagram. If you're bored and you're on Snapchat, you can find me there on, at XorsonX. I post a lot of stupid board game and Lego stuff because, yeah, that's really all I do. Our number one for the week is Mayday number one on Image by Alex DeCampi. And our over-under, let's hope it's, you know, we can close out the political discussions with our post-election rage over-under. So if you're quick, actually, no, never mind, because the show isn't live anymore. Sometimes I remember it used to be live, and it was kind of neat.
Stop.
Yeah, do it. But I was going to say, if you hurry up and get on my Snapchat, you can see my Darth Vader Lego that I built, but it'll be gone by the time this airs. So you'll have to check out my Instagram. So never mind, that's actually not XorsonX, that's Slevin77. But, you know, hey. Enough promotion of my awesomeness. Let's, I don't have
grab them cakes.
Let's grab them cakes. Let's do it.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
I'm going to go ahead and say that Wednesday was probably the best day for me. Actually, no, it kind of did suck. Outside of the obvious, two people at work got fired. But on a personal note, I came home and read a ton of comics and just put together Legos all night. So, I mean, I didn't... No electronics, no bullshit, no TV, no nothing. Just me and toys and comic books, and it was fantastic. Got my mind off a lot of bullshit.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, this week has pretty much been a spiral down the drain. Like, I got nothing.
Righteous. Yeah. Let's see. This week has been a nightmare for multiple reasons. The obvious is the obvious, and I'm sure we'll rant about that for the next hour and a half, but sorry in advance. But also, there was a humongous dust up at work 2 days ago, so that's been awesome, and somebody at work behind my back tried to thwart me out of vacation time by using their alleged seniority. So I'm like having an amazing week. So America, woo.
Seems odd.
Long story short, I took the day after Thanksgiving because my company is open the day after Thanksgiving for a number of reasons, but it's like there's only like 3 or 4 people around, and I put in for that date 3 months ago, and somebody threatened to go to the corporate office and use their seniority to screw me out of it. So, pretty awesome. Granted, it won't work, but just the fact that somebody thought they could pull it off, it's kind of one of those things where you want to just slowly walk Trump. Them to the edge of a high cliff and just kind of go and shove them off. So,
because of Trump.
This person did vote for Trump, and not only did, she also peacocked around the office yesterday bragging about how awesome it is that we're finally going to change this country.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, they're finally going to change this country. You know what? Dudes are going to be able to go up and grab her stinky-ass snatch whenever they feel like it. No consequences, so yay for her.
But, yeah, this person also... through a humongous fit while I wasn't there, so I wasn't even in the building. I was out to lunch. They threw a humongous fit over that and the fact that I took other vacation time that I've earned, threatening to basically decide when I'm allowed to have it. So kick ass, work rules. I read comics too, so that happened.
A sexist bigot is now our president.
Yes, will be. Yeah, January 20th.
I knew people were dumb, but now I know they're really dumb.
Well, what I think is funny is less than 24 hours after he was elected, his whole Muslim ban bullshit came off the website. So, like...
Well,
You know, I really think he's going to rein it all, not all of it, but he's going to rein a lot of that shit in, and he just said all that shit to get all the morons in this country fired up enough to make him president. I really think he's probably not going to do that much.
Oh, to play devil's advocate, he doesn't need a website anymore.
Oh, no, he still has the website. He just took down the part about that, and now if you click on an old link that's supposed to point to it, it just goes to the homepage where they're asking for donations. Just makes you wonder how much he's actually going to follow through on. Now, I guess I'll save the rest for over-under, really, honestly, because I don't want to ruin anything, because I don't really know if I have much, so I'm going to save it all for then. Sorry.
No, I think that there's no need for a website now. He already won, so what's the point of pitching his platform when he's already got the job, theoretically speaking?
Well, why leave everything else up on the site and then only take that down?
Because that's the most controversial content. It's easier to take.
I don't think it is. No, I think the making Mexico build a wall is pretty offensive.
Oh, that's still up
there? I don't know. I'm just assuming. The only thing that they've said that's come down is the Muslim ban. And let's face it, in the last couple of months, it went from ban them all to, well, let's screen them to, well, I mean, we got to stop some. It just started trailing off there at the end. I mean, most of what he said. Well, it's hard to even say most of what he said in the debates was, you know, scary too, because all he did was say, wrong, wrong, you're a criminal, wrong. He didn't really say anything. Like, people have no idea what they're voting for, because he never talked about the issues and what he planned on doing.
Oh, yeah, he had almost no platform whatsoever.
He just spit garbage the entire time. And it's funny how they continue to point out that it's the less educated that fell for it.
Oh, yes.
You know what? I have a feeling, and I was thinking about this today. I bet you any money, like, the Republicans came to I don't know who or whatever and said, look, we let you have this this colored guy for 8 years. You can give us what we want now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't buy that.
I'm not saying that I don't. I don't know why I have that weird feeling. It's like, it's weird, like, it's a weird flip.
I feel.
You guys got Barack Obama. We can have our turn now.
I just, honestly, I feel like if I needed absolute proof that this stuff actually is legit, it was what happened 2 days ago. I feel like in a normal world where this stuff is supposedly all predetermined, this never happens. So,
you know what else I do want to mention? Because why not? We're on the subject. I remember even back when we were had this big rant on the interview when we were talking to Bob Fingerman. It was all like, yeah, there's no way this is going to happen. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I run into a lot of people out in the street who are just, first thing out of their mouth is, Trump! Oh. And while everyone sat around going, this ain't going to happen, I kept thinking like, it might happen.
I never doubted that it could happen if everything was, you know, at least on the surface above board. My thought was, if this is rigged, if this is all predetermined, like he screamed about for a month, this never happens. But then in that same scenario, he doesn't get nearly this far. He gets to, like, you know, Duncan Hunter territory, and then he gets, like, booted out of town.
Well, I feel like there are still a lot of, lack of a better term, I mean, but maybe not, racists in this country, and they feel like that they've had to keep their mouth shut or they've been stifled for the last 8 years, and somebody gave them the okay to say and do whatever they want, and it's okay now. So I feel like they all saw that, and they were like, fuck yeah, Trump, 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 and that's why he won. There's
absolutely.
This country is, you know, as far as it may have seemed to have come in recent years, I think at its heart, the majority of the people here are pretty racist, pretty homophobic, pretty
No,
everything.
I think the majority is, I think, half, though, and half is enough to win, so.
I don't know. It's scary. This is the first time since I've, you know, been, you know, paid. I haven't always paid that much attention to this kind of stuff, you know, especially, you know, teens, late teens, maybe even early 20s. But since I've really been paying attention to this stuff, this is the first time I, like, feel like I'm not part of this country anymore. Like, I don't belong here. I just don't. On that note, talk amongst yourselves. I gotta let the dog in.
Yeah. yeah, it's been an awful week. Of course, I had a I have an LGBT stepdaughter, and she's been torn up about this whole thing. And then I had a coworker come into work on Wednesday, and she brought me something, and she seemed okay, and she's gay as well. And I was like, "How you doing?" She's like, "It's tough." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Are you okay?" And then she just started to cry. And she was just so upset. She's just like, she just said, "It's not gonna be okay. They hate me." And you know, it's the signal she gets clearly, loud and clear from the American public. They either don't care, or they just don't, or they actively despise someone like her. And both of those things are upsetting to somebody who had a year that was where we had marriage equality and all these things happen, and then we get a big giant sign that. Not most of America, mine, of course, because of course he did get fewer votes, but enough that I mean, one vote for him was too many. Honestly, like one vote is already a failure of reasoning and compassion and empathy and love and anything important. So the fact that anyone voted, my mom included, just shows what a failure that I've done and we've done as a country to go from what we had to what we're going to have. So it's been a really tough week. That said, I saw Doctor Strange last night and I really enjoyed it.
Right? Yeah. That movie was really good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was a lot of fun to watch in 3D. I don't usually care either way, but I was like, you know, it looked like there's gonna be some trippy stuff because the comics were always so trippy, and I think they're gonna have a lot of fun with that. So I'm definitely gonna pony up a few extra bucks for the 3D, and super worth it.
I'm going to tell you, probably two of my most favorite parts in that movie was when she dumped him off on Everest, and she was like, deuces, and she just left him there. That was kind of awesome. And Wong is the best.
Yeah.
The librarian, you know, I didn't mention it in my review at all, because I didn't want to go too into the movie, but, like, Wong was probably one of my favorite characters in that movie.
Yeah, Wong is great. You know, Dan Harmon, who I talk about often. From Community and, more importantly, Rick and Morty. He was hired on at the very end to basically finish up the script because they were having some problems with the ending and some of the jokes. So he kind of came in, and I think I could see some of his little touches on there, and I thought that was really awesome. Yeah. And Rick and Morty, I don't know if you guys ever watch it, but it's besides being funny, it's actually really solid sci-fi, and I think that's that's actually why... Kevin Feige, or Feige, however you say his name. That's what he said. That he said in Rick and Morty was the reason Dan Harmon was brought in to work on Doctor Strange, because they're like his story ideas are so solid. Like, you just gotta have that guy.
Can I tell you what I am afraid for later? Not afraid for, but what I'm disappointed in mm-hmm. is the possibility if they make a Doctor Strange 2 or whatever other, you know, I know he's gonna show up in Thor or whatever, but like. What I was really excited that we were going to hopefully maybe have Benjamin Bratt in some of these movies later on down the line, but he kind of got screwed there at the end.
Yeah, I know. I always get excited when an actor or actress ends up in an MCU movie or even a property like on Netflix or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. I always get kind of excited when I see them like kind of get into that world, because I really give a shit about that world. And I'm always
right.
like, oh, and I love Benjamin Bratt. I love right? him from Law and Order and all that stuff. And I was like, oh man, I love that guy.
Dude, blood in, blood out.
And what?
Blood in, blood out.
Yeah, blood in, blood out. Yeah, dude, so many stuff. He's awesome. He's God, what's the other thing I'm thinking about? He's in. It's really funny. I can't remember, but anyway, that guy's awesome. But yeah, that was a little sad. Although a really nice introduction to a character shift too.
Yeah, yeah, that was surprising, but yeah. I like it because that guy's awesome too.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, pretty killer cast. I had very few complaints. If I had them, it was because I was sitting there trying to come up with them, you know?
Like, yeah.
Sometimes when I think we as reviewers, we get so into, like, reviewing things that we start looking for, like, all the cracks, and sometimes we forget, like, oh, wait, we can just enjoy this. Like, literally no one's paying me to have an opinion on this. I can just have fun. Like,
yeah.
I got a question. Mm-hmm. Since I don't know about politics all that much, actually none at all, can he really, like, overturn Obama's law, or, I mean, that made, you know...
The Affordable Care Act?
Marriage marriage equality? Can he? Can Trump really like overturn that?
I don't believe that will happen.
I mean, if President Obama already made it a law, how could the next president then say, you know what, let's get rid of this one?
See, here's the best way I guess I can put it. On his own, no. But the fact that the Republicans control the House and the Senate as well, and they're going to appoint conservatives to the Supreme Court, I think until the midterms come around and hopefully we can take back something, I think the first 2 years are going to be very scary.
Yeah, I think he's going to dangle that marriage equality thing through the midterm to try to keep that, if not even through the second election, because it's very difficult. It's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to probably ever happen, honestly, but but it's possible. I mean, I didn't think Trump was going to become president, so what the hell do I know?
I just don't understand why people, I'm saying people in general, humanity, the whole world, why the fuck do people concern themselves with who's fucking who?
Because that's what religion has taught them.
I just don't get it. Like, who the...
They think, a lot of people, they think it's like a morality thing. They think, like, people who are very Christian...
I don't think it is. I think they're just stupid is what they are.
Well, they put it on the same level as, like, not the same level, but, I mean, they'll if you push them hard enough, they say things like, well, we have laws against murder, and murder's wrong. Why don't we have laws against homosexuality? Because that's wrong. Because it comes down to them that it's wrong.
But you're not practicing it. Who cares?
They care because they're bad people.
Because that's what they've been taught their entire lives by going to church. And
I understand all that. I'm just kind of throwing the question out in the air. You know what I mean?
It's a good question. It's a totally normal thing to be frustrated about because it, like, I can understand not caring.
People just concern themselves too much about who's sleeping with who.
Yeah.
Mind their own business.
And politicians.
I know
that's
never gonna change. I mean,
no, I know. I mean, it's just used as a wedge issue. I mean, Cheney's daughter was gay, but during Bush's administration, they had kind of hinted about the idea of a constitutional amendment to make same-sex marriage legal, because that's something they can do. They can add a constitutional amendment to the Constitution, and then it would be the law of the land.
Ken Melman is gay. I believe. Is that mm-hmm. Ken Melman?
Yep.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid if something happened to Brenda and I.
Or,
wow.
Or Logan.
He just invaded. I mean, I'd rather have my son be adopted by two sane gay or lesbian couple, like mm-hmm. a couple, than, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
I just... Like, that wouldn't concern me. I'm like, okay, are they going to love him? Great.
Yeah, I know.
It
I know.
Boggles my mind.
It's okay. If you heard the shit I say to my cat, you guys would be turn white.
You'd be surprised. Yeah, wait till you get a PlayStation.
When it comes down to it, it is wrong, and I don't feel that way.
It's violent, you know.
Well, right. My friend at work and I have been talking about this for days now, as per usual, and his cousin, who I actually... am kind of friends with too, and I had no idea they were cousins till about this afternoon, but she's married to a woman in the Navy, and whatever naval platoon she's part of, or whatever ship she's assigned to, the second it was called for Trump, people on her ship started yelling at her to get off the boat and get out of the military because she didn't belong. And it was not because, oh, man, every time we try to lift a crate, she drops her side. No, it was because she's, you know, she's not straight and Christian. She's a LGBT woman. So it was like the second they heard that he won, they felt like, okay, it's a go. Get the fuck out of here. And they've been harassing her ever since. So now they're both like, what do we do? Do we move? Do we try and get out of this? Like, what? And they're completely like, at a loss. And I'm sure there's countless stories that are just as similar, but yeah. The people she's been alongside for however long just instantly turned on her. I don't know about all of them, but enough of them to, you know, basically rattle her completely. So that's pretty rad.
Ah, so horrible. Also, on a other side note, Leonard Cohen just died about a half
I
hour
was
ago.
Just reading that. I was going to mention it, so cool.
Yeah, so 2016, officially like the worst year for great musicians. Fucking Prince, Bowie, Leonard Cohen. Nick Cave should die. Maybe we can bring Nick Drake back from the dead and kill him too. Is Rob Halford sick? Can he die before the end of the year so we can just be like, well, screw this?
It ain't over yet, man. It's, you know, potentially only going to get worse.
I'm putting Rob Halford in it, like a hermetically sealed room for the rest of the year.
Rest of the year? Rest of the next 2 decades? Yeah. We need to start the Save Rob Halford campaign immediately.
Just throw like a microphone in there and some food and some the occasional adorable boy or whatever. I don't know what he's into, but
it has always fascinated me that some of the most ardently homophobic men used to worship that guy.
Yeah,
that makes me smile in such a unique way.
Oh my god! And the song changes. Where it says, like, you've been hanging out with some hot guys. Like, come on, guys. There's a little bit of a clue right there.
The entire lyrics of Eat Me Alive, I think, pretty much lays it all out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a band that I have learned to love more and more as years go by. And when I found out he was gay, I was like, that is just awesome.
I just remember when I found out, I was like, I can see it now. Makes perfect sense. Don't know why I never saw that before.
Oh, well. Well, just real quick, one last thing about midterms. We're going... I've been... If you guys haven't noticed on Facebook, I've been going a little crazy. I keep talking about the midterms. I keep saying, like, you know, 2 more years and we're going to fucking hamstring these motherfuckers and we're going to take back blah, blah, blah. But that... We are already so on the defensive next midterms. There's 9 Democratic seats that are up for re-election in states that Trump won handedly. Like... The Republicans are basically safe in midterms, and the Democrats could only basically lose more. So it's going to have to be all defense, and no one likes to fucking play defense. Fucking Democrats love hitting home runs all the time, and that's it. You know, they need to get their fucking long game together. Miles Greb and I have been talking about telling everyone they need to start learning some goddamn game theory and learn that your precious voice isn't going to be part of the chorus to carry the true progressive to the high seat. You know, it's like sometimes you need to get down in the dirt and vote for the people you hate just to make sure the people you hate more don't win. It's like they've never seen Game of Thrones or something. It's like, don't you know how this shit works?
I've only seen the first like 2 seasons. I'm terribly behind.
Nah, you're fine. Wait till it's all done and watch them all at once. It'll be great. Waiting around is stupid. If you make something, you should make it all the way through immediately and that's it.
Right? Like just one long movie.
Yeah. Just be like, we're going to make Supergirl. It's going to be like 10 seasons. So the next 3 years of life are just filming, just so you know.
That would definitely make staying on a show a lot easier for me because I get so sidetracked. If like one bad episode, I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah, I was watching Agent Carter, and before I heard it got canceled, I was one day just like chilling at home. I was like, what about second season? When is that second season going to start? And I went and looked on demand, and there's only 2 episodes, them being the last 2 episodes of the second season. I was like, when did this even come on? I'd never even heard about this happening. So I had to go back and dig and watch all of them, and then I found out it got canceled for not people like watching. I was like, well, you know, I pay attention to comic books so pretty well, and I never even once heard it was coming on TV. Like, that was some terrible marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they're not releasing it on DVD, which is horrible because that's like, I could buy it on Amazon and watch it digitally, but if I'm going to pay $30, I want to have it in my hands. I don't want to have it on my PlayStation and then maybe lose it.
Yeah, can we talk about that for a minute? Because that's really, sure. That really chaps my hide.
Grind your gears?
Yes, that really, yeah, thank you. Grinds my gears. Why are we as a society willing to pay retail price for digital copies?
No idea.
They don't have to mass produce them. Then make one and they share it with everybody every time you pay $30. Nothing infuriates me. Like, I'm fine with buying some of my comics on the Kindle, but if I can go to the store and get it for $3.99, I don't want to pay $3.99 for a digital copy. Because here's the thing. If it sucks, I can't sell it. Digital copies of anything are a complete waste of money.
Yeah, I don't understand either. One of my favorite things about having, like, records or DVDs, especially DVDs, mostly, more than anything, because I really love something, I can like loan it to a friend and be like, hey, check this thing out.
Yeah,
check out this awesome thing that you should see. Like, when you give someone a link, it's like giving them homework. Like, no one wants to do that.
Yeah. Oh, your Flash player is not up to date. Oh, you need Shockwave. Oh, you're on the wrong browser. Oh, your file format's not supported.
Or if you're lucky,
are you enjoying this experience yet?
Yeah, right. Oh, just for the fun of it, here's a fucking commercial halfway through. Thanks, YouTube.
Or if you're lucky enough to trick a woman into hanging out with you, you can be like, I could bring it over tonight. Boom. And then maybe we can make out afterwards. Boom. And then chances are, in my case, she'll be like, all right, it was a good movie, and I'll leave.
No. Leave the DVD.
The movie stays here. You go.
I want to watch it again when the room's not so fat.
Yow.
Yikes.
Is it me, or is it stuffy in here?
That's awesome.
You can edit that snort out. Oh my god.
No, it pretty much fits with my ginormousness. Yeah, so I think the best part, I think overall, besides the Legos for my week, was I posted Darth Vader on somewhere, and somebody I don't even know commented and said, now he just needs somebody to fight. And I said, I have General Grievous waiting. He'll be up soon, and he liked my comment. So, strangers unite over Legos. It's a beautiful thing.
That's right. My daughter got some Legos today, in fact.
What? Which one?
She just got one of those little people in the, you know, people in the bag. She got the lady boxer. It's like, pretty awesome.
At the checkout line type of stuff?
Yeah.
God, I'm always so tempted by those.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, we got like Syndrome and Mr. Incredible the other day.
Nice.
That was pretty awesome. Like a weird, like, Uncharted looking guy.
I think I got Darth Vader, I want to say, either for my birthday or Christmas last year. So I've had him for quite a while. But like years and years ago when they started coming out with all those Movie Maniacs figures, I bought all of them. And I didn't leave in the package like you're supposed to. I bought a glass door bookcase so that I can open them up, set them up, close the doors, and never touch them. But then I've moved like four times since then, so it's like now they're just sitting in boxes wrapped in newspaper because, you know, so that's like I'm sitting on all these Legos, and I'm like, God, once I know I'm going to be somewhere for an extended period of time and I'm probably never going to move, that's when I'm going to put these together. But I'm just like, dude, I could be on the street next week, so I'm just going to fucking put Legos together tonight because life is awesome.
We'll build Legos for food.
I'm going to be out in the street soon with a sign, "We'll fix computers for food."
Hey, you should. Come out of Seattle, man. You work in Amazon. Make $80,000 a year, and I could be mad at you.
That would be amazing. But I don't think they'd hire me. That's the problem. That's the problem I have here. I'm fucking stuck where I'm at because no one else will hire me. It's pretty awesome being me. All right. Should we, like, number one this?
Yeah,
let's try.
Are we still doing a show here?
Let's try to rope a few viewer listeners back in before they completely.
That's why I keep trying to circle back to the Legos. I know that's a thing.
No, that's fine.
All right, May Day number one. Oh, we just lost more listeners. May Day number one on Image was my pick. No real reason, although it was Alex DeCampi, which usually is fairly decent for me, but. So here's the story. It's basically you have, I want to say it was the Vietnam War, and there was this Russian who had secrets, but he was willing to, like, defect and get those to the Americans. So the Americans flew him from Vietnam back to America in a safe house before, like, the FBI or whoever can come and debrief him, more or less. And at the same time, you got these two Russian KGB agents who are trying, you know, to stop this from happening. That's basically the premise of the book. And, I mean, it wasn't, there's some really interesting panels in there once you realize that the bottle of vodka that was laced with LSD, and then there's like a whole like four or five pages of this like really trippy artwork, which was badass. But I think overall what really took me out of this is, I mean, I know we've seen it in comics before where they do the word bubbles of garbleness, and then they, you know, translate it for you down at the bottom of the page or whatever, like, spoken in Russian, blah, blah, blah. Well, they did that in this book to an extent, but they also did that in a way where they didn't tell you what was being said all the time. They just garbled words randomly, and sometimes you can make out what it was, and it was, all right, okay, I get it. But I feel like they just took it way too far, and, like, by the middle of the book, I was just so done with trying to decipher what the fuck they were saying. I was just like, this it's over. You went overboard with this, and you've ruined it for me. Was that a bad rant, or?
No.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't explain, like, tons of shit about the story, but that summed it up pretty well, I think. But the whole... I just hate it in comics when they just do the whole, translated from Chinese. Yeah, no shit. They're in Hong Kong. Of course they're not speaking English. I get that, but you can still just put it in there. I don't need to see, you know, the Chinese letters, and then on the bottom in asterisks, this is what they're actually saying. Like, come on, dude. Like,
I don't like that either. It's very easy for you to go on the internet and type in what you want, and it will translate it to you for you in Chinese or any other language.
No, I mean, well, that's... I don't know if we're talking about the same thing. I don't know. I think when you're going to use that effect in a book, it's annoying as it is, but when you're going to do it and not translate it, you've completely lost me. Some of it you can make out. Some of it was fine. Some of it was just like you can tell by the context of what they were saying of what it was, but other times it just got to be too much. Like, took me out of it. I was disappointed in this book. I really was.
Well, last weekend, before I went to see Doctor Strange, I stopped at the Barnes & Noble, and they're having their Criterion sale again, so I bought the movie The Naked Kiss by Samuel Fuller, because I really like Shock Corridor, and I really, you know, trying to, like, stock up on these old, you know, weird noir movies.
Aren't they all on Hulu?
No, they're going away now, because that film struck or whatever.
Because
that new
Trump?
No, there's a new streaming service that's, like, coming out, or it just came out. It's some weird new thing, and it has all... It's going to have the entire Criterion library, but you can pay the regular price, or you can pay an exaggerated price to get the content plus Criterion. And it's just like, I don't have the time to keep adding streaming services, because at that point, you're just going to start paying cable bills, the cable bill all over again. So, anyway, point is... I liked the movie, although I didn't like it as much as I liked the other movies of his, but I kind of felt like the weakness the movie had was it kind of had clunky editing. Like, things would just end, and then the next thing would start, and there was, like, no bridge between the two. And reading this, there were panels where I felt the same thing. Like, I'm like, there's no bridge between these two thoughts. And that was what was taking... And you're right, the like, where we'll say, this is a blah, blah, thing or whatever, it'd be like, wait, I don't want to sit here for 5 minutes and try and think about what that word could be. If you're gonna garble it up, you know, put an F at the beginning and a G at the end, so at least I know it's the word fucking or something. I don't want to sit here and go, well, I don't want to play Wheel of Fortune. I just want to fucking know what it is and keep going.
I don't need my fucking decoder ring from what was that?
Ovaltine?
Yes, thank you. Drink your Ovaltine.
And in addition, like, I forgot that she wrote Grindhouse. I don't know if you've ever seen the Grindhouse comics from Dark Horse.
No, I never read those.
Alex DeCampi wrote those, and it's like each arc was like a 3-issue Grindhouse movie arc. There was like the Bee Women of something, or the Bee Vixens of Hazard County or whatever, and is this everything I've ever read by Alex DeCampi? I felt like there were panels that would end, another panel would begin. There was nothing linking the two, and like just choppy editing. And I just, it's hard to stay in a flow when that happens. So, the idea is fantastic, and it's got so much possibility. But I feel like it was just kind of not handled entirely.
Well,
yeah.
No Mercy is actually really good.
That's her, too.
Yeah. That one I actually like, but yeah, I agree with you. And I think there's, like... I think this book probably gave you too much. I know I usually complain about there not being enough. I think this one might have, like, saturated the reader. That it became maybe just a little confusing on who's who, or it was like... I don't know. I think quite a few characters were introduced in this first issue. But I could be wrong. But that's how I feel, and I'm sticking with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I feel very similar. I read it a couple times trying to make sure I didn't miss anything, and I thought it was okay. I was just I like the concept. I think it seems actually like a pretty, it's going to be a pretty cool story. It just felt like stuff was missing a little bit. I didn't get any sense of characters at all. Like, I could barely tell kind of what was happening, honestly, and I don't feel like I'm that dense.
That's why say, like, there's, like, it just felt like there's too many characters. It's hard to, like, it did get confusing.
Yeah, I just didn't get a sense of any one character being, like, who am I, like, at one point I was like, okay, well, it's clearly this, like, assassin guy and his, like, female contact, that's good, who's going to be the story. But I was like, you know, these hippies that I thought were just going to be, like, a side thing, they got just as much, if not more, story time as them, so are they going to be a huge part of it? I mean, clearly the CIA guy, the Russian, they speak Russian, and the old guy, like, they are apparently a big part of it, but, like, how much more? Are they really the main characters? I don't know. I can't really tell exactly what's at stake. That said, the art I thought was kind of crazy, but, like, I thought for a story that's supposed to take place, like, around Vietnam, I thought it was pretty perfect. It kind of reminded me of that style of comics from that era. Like, reminded me a little bit of, like, Spain Rodriguez or, like, some of the EC war and crime comics. If you look at the very first panel, the drawing of the girl's face is hilarious because she looks crazy, but I just kind of had that sort of, I felt like the artwork fit the period really well, and some of, like, the trippier stuff was really awesome, but I don't know, I don't think I'll be reading another one.
Oh, I'm pretty dead set on the fact that I won't be.
I'm not gonna lie, there was, like, a short moment when you told us what it was, I was like, man, it'd be awesome if it was about the band that put out that 7-inch The Underdark back in, like, 92, because that thing was awesome.
You're talking about the band that did the split with Integrity?
Yeah, Mayday.
Yeah.
I remember I had built, when that thing was advertised in Maximum Rock and Roll, I had built that thing up to, like, epic levels, and then when I got it, I was like, it's so much better than I thought.
That Mayday song is good.
I, like, loved that record. So I was like, man, if this is about the band Mayday, that would kick so much ass.
I think they did a 10-inch.
They made.
Well, I have that 7-inch. That was one of my favorite. Those were, like, two of my favorite Integrity songs.
Oh, those, yeah, like, those were good.
Those are, like, two of the best Integrity songs.
I finally found them on Spotify because they're
hands,
like,
hands down.
They're mixed into some. Apparently, there was some Integrity release that was, like, a bunch of 7-inches or something. But it took some finding to find those songs. Like, Kingdom of Heaven, I think, is one, and I can't remember the other one. Rebirth, yeah, those are awesome songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're both about Satan.
I'll admit, when I first heard that, I was super disappointed, because I'm like, oh, they really aren't straight edge anymore. And then, like, 10 minutes later, I was like, nah, I don't care, this is pretty good.
Yeah, dude. I didn't give a flying fuck.
I did for, like I said, for, like, a minute. I was like, oh, man.
And yeah, because it sounds awesome. You're like, dude.
But then I heard, like, Mayday, and I was like, oh my god, this is so good. Anyway, sorry to sidetrack.
I'm trying to think of the first line. Was he goes, small boy fights. Oh, how's it going?
I have no idea. I know I still have the record, though. I'm 99.9% sure I still kept it.
Oh, I have it. I think I got, like, 2 copies of it.
Sweet. So I guess we can number
maybe
this.
We should just talk about the Mayday stuff instead now.
That's fine by me.
I give that split a 9.5.
I give the split a 9.5. I give the Mayday Underdark 7-inch an 8.5 from what I remember, although it's been a really long time since I've heard it. I'm sure I'll still like it, though. Anyway, I didn't want to sidetrack that badly, but just wanted to illustrate that I liked the band better than I liked the comic.
And speaking of, I'm going to give the comic, I said 6 in my little notes down here, and I think I'm going to stick with that. I mean, the art really was amazing. The story could have been better, but, you know, I still feel like it was, you know, some people might like it. I don't know. It wasn't terrible, but it's just, it didn't give me enough to keep going.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6, too. It reminded me of the Dark Horse series, this damn band about the 70s rock band that actually hung out with the devil because they conjured him up and couldn't get rid of him. And
that sounds amazing.
It's actually not that great. I thought it was going to be really awesome, and I was really disappointed. And anyway, The theme of this book, I mean, it calls to mind a number of things. Like, you think of, like, the Manson family, you think of the hippies, you think of the music, and it should be awesome, but it's not really that awesome. It's just okay.
Five.
I said six.
You know, so we're all on pretty much the same page there. Mm-hmm. All right, so you guys want to keep rambling about the band, or...
No.
Or do you want to do the... No. Do we move... I'm good. Move it into over under.
I feel like we talked more about Mayday than in length than all of the Mayday songs put together would last. So,
so we ready to strap on our big boy pants and get back into politics?
Let's do it.
All right. So the over under is post election rage, and I'm gonna go ahead and say overrated is everyone who is. Screaming at each other back and forth about, well, if you would have voted for this guy, this would, and if you would have voted for that guy, it's like, oh my God, it's done. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of the things in this country we have is, you know, you get to vote for the person you feel you is going to represent you the best. I get it. But at the same time, like, it's too late now. You know what I mean? Like, it was so close. Like, even if the handful of people would have went the other way, you know, depending on what state you live in, it may not have made a difference. It was too far gone, I think, from the beginning. There, I said it.
No, I mean, a lot of people are, like, kind of clinging to the last shred of hope that somehow the Electoral College will somehow overturn this. With all the violence that has happened in just the last 48 hours, I think it would be amplified through the roof if they took this away.
Absolutely.
And I honestly, as horrible as it is to say, I almost feel like the people that made this happen need to see that this is not going to accomplish what they want. As much as that possibly could do damage in a lot of other areas, like, there needs to be absolute proof that what you asked for and what you expect is not what you're going to get.
The problem is... they're all upset because, you know, our jobs are going away and this is going away.
Right, but I mean...
And here's the thing. It's Trump and people like Trump that sent your jobs overseas. And I want to say I read it on one of your posts, Damien, where someone was... I think it might even have been Miles Greb, who were saying basically, like, all these jobs these people are hoping that are coming back to the country are all going to be automated in the very near future if they're not already automated. So your jobs are never coming back. It's time to find a new industry or get on board with people who want to, you know, go along with the whole minimum income, because it's going to get to a point where a lot of the jobs are automated by robots, by machines, whatever you have, and there are not going to be jobs for the rest of us, and it's already going that way. That's why we have turned into, we went from a manufacturing country to a service economy. You can't support people on a Starbucks salary, and that is what, that's what everyone is turning to now, because that's all there is.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, I had mentioned that all of the states, every state that Trump won, like, handedly, the number one job in all of those states is truck driver. And right now, truck driver, self-driving trucks just completed their first, like, full thing and went without a hitch. I mean, it was a super success. Self-driving trucks are being produced, like, as we speak. So, it's those jobs are going away, and going away soon. Like, maybe some of these guys who voted are going to be able to age out of that industry before the industry completely goes away. But 20 years, I don't think there'll be a truck driver left in the country. That's just, there's no way. All these Uber drivers and Lyft drivers, these are temporary jobs. There's no longevity in there. No one's retiring from Uber.
Oh, no, like, not at all.
Like, those jobs are gone in, like, 10 years, I'd say.
Well,
I'd say 20 is very optimistic. I'm going to say more like 10.
Well, you got to look at it. You know, like, Uber's been around for only a couple of years as it is, and they already have self-driving cars on the road. Mind you, they're in the test phases, but people have the option right now in certain areas to have a driverless Uber pick them up.
Well, one of the clips I saw was when he was talking about, like, he was going to single-handedly bring back all the coal mining jobs that have long since been automated. He might as well have just said, I'm going to bring back making... what's that stuff that they used in Lord of the Rings? Mithril. He might as well just said, yeah, we're gonna bring back
making suits of armor.
Yeah, we're bringing back armor for knights.
We've lost the chainmail in this country.
He's essentially, I mean, he's essentially told them that jobs that have long since been had humans replaced by computers are going to come back from where I have no idea
because
they just...
Yes, because that's what everyone wants, black lung.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the one thing that scares me the most about him being president is the, you know, okay, we're going to ditch the EPA. We're going to push coal. We're going to push oil. We're going to keep blowing up mountains for shale. I mean, the bottom line is we need to get on board with renewable energy, and we need to do it fast. I mean, how many more people need to turn on their faucets and set it on fire before we make some serious changes around here?
I read something recently that said that they found like a colossal amount of oil reserves in North America. So the possibility of renewable energy seems like now it's being pushed way back. So.
That's no secret, man. We've known about that forever.
No, another one. Not the one you're thinking of, but they found another one somewhere, I want to say, in like Manitoba.
Yeah, it's been found here. It's all over North America. But why should we use our own when we can deplete the rest of the world and then hold the rest of it? That's the plan. But eventually, even if that's your plan, eventually it's going to run out.
Anyway, my whole...
Sorry. I'm getting a little fired up here.
Good.
The whole thing about coal, though, is a dodge anyway, because aside from the fact that those jobs have been largely replaced by machines, coal's being phased out for fracking anyhow, so...
Driller a killer.
Even the automated coal mines are going to start probably closing before too long, because fracking is cheaper, and it's...
Destroying everything is what it's doing.
It's destroying everything, but it also turns a bigger profit, so... There's not going to be a need for coal, because it's super outdated. All these jobs that they're waiting to see come back... are outdated. So
I'm sorry. Solar, wind, water. What's wrong with this? I don't understand. I don't get it.
Well, I have two. I don't know if anyone wants me to do two, but they're not that. My first one is all the people that spent the last 8 years online posting memes of the Obama family, you know, dressed like tribesmen and Muslims are moving into the house next door to you, and they're going to set fire to yours while you're asleep. And, you know, if you don't say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, you should be stabbed in the face. All of a sudden this morning and yesterday morning started posting memes about how now it's time for us to hold hands and be nice to each other. No. I don't have to argue with you or berate you, but I do not have to respect you. So, no. I will not all of a sudden decide to be holding hands and respect your ridiculous opinions. That's A. And B, all the people who have been for the last 2 days going, all right, Hollywood left, pack it up and get out. All these like other rich celebrities acting like it's Hollywood celebrity. This whole, I mean, I get it. Like when actors and actresses who have privileged lives start whining about like, well, I'm going to move to Canada. I'm going to move to Europe. The minute other celebrities start acting like they're just like the regular folks and get out of our country, it's just like this whole conversation is the intellectual equivalent of get her done, and I am so tired of hearing it. I just don't want to hear any more about, I mean, let's just say in the most extreme scenario, the Hollywood as an entire community, as an entire industry decided, okay, screw it, we are going to leave. And they took all their studios and all their business and all their actors and agencies over to, we'll say, Barcelona and leave this giant crater of nothingness in Southern California. Aside from the fact that now we're probably going to be considered last in terms of seeing new movies and TV, I kind of feel like that's a gigantic tax base that's just been whisked away because a bunch of hillbillies had to scream and yell because, you know, they got a left-wing agenda. So just stop with that crap. It's so annoying. I saw like five different people tweeting like, pack it up, liberal Hollywood, get out of my country. And all I gotta say is, well, then there will be no Transformers 6. So settle down, Jake Arrieta.
That's awesome.
Well, this guy is like, you know, he wins the World Series. He's partying for 4 days with John Cusack and Bill Murray and living it up Hollywood style. And then 4 days later, he's like, Trump rules, get out. I'm sure he didn't say that to Bill Murray's face or John Cusack's face or even Vince Vaughn's face when they were all getting drunk and partying after the game was over or whatever. Yeah, and Rand Paul was doing it today. It's just like, God, you people are just so obnoxious with this. Just, if you don't like movies, don't watch them.
Yeah.
If you don't like gay people, don't pretend they don't exist. I don't know.
I always love those people that say, who's like, you know, being gay is a choice, man. It's like, well, then, you know, be gay then. Prove it to me.
Yeah, if being gay is a choice, then being an idiot is also a choice. So you can choose to not read anything, and you can choose to be dumb, or you can choose to not be dumb. So
awful. I've totally lost track of where we are now.
Over, I took two because I'm an idiot. So
yeah, we're...
Oh, okay, no.
Unless you got something, Chris, you can go, Damien.
Oh, I got something.
Sweet.
I'm gonna shout to the morning. Give it no shout out to Notorious B.I.G. Motherfucking Tupac sucker.
I have no idea.
Enough said.
All right. Well then.
What was that?
That was One Life Crew. I'm assuming their next record should be coming out momentarily.
Hashtag Trump.
Yep. That Wednesday was probably their wet dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, them and Path of Resistance gonna do a tour together. Just the red states.
Which was surprisingly most of them. So
yeah, that's a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah. My overrated is wish casting. I was railing against it all day. And wish casting is essentially not forecasting, it's wish casting. It's where you're like, you know, if Bernie Sanders has got the nomination, he would have totally beat Trump. It's like, you can't know that. You can't possibly know that. There's no data to support that conclusion. You can assume that. Like, you can be totally like, look at the, you know, look at the motivation that people had voting for Bernie Sanders. Look how many progressives he got to come out. Look how many people he got that would have never voted in the first place to come out. Look how great he did. But then you can also say, like, yeah, but also look how terrible he did with Latinos and look how terribly he did with African Americans. I mean, he was polling at, like, less than 20% with African Americans. I mean, he was doing miserably. So, no, he would not have won New Mexico. No, he would not won Nevada. So those two big states right there. So, you know, and then, but maybe he would have, because no one would have thought Trump would have won either. I mean, this whole thing is crazy and does not necessarily follow the rules that you would expect. But I think that when the Republican war machine against the socialist Jew actually got into effect, like if he actually became a threat to the Republicans, people would have cared. I think your average Trump viewer knows as much about Bernie Sanders as your average Sanders viewer
knows about
Sanders
Trump.
Voter. Well, I was gonna say knows about like Kasich.
No,
like they don't know anything about Kasich. They know he's like a governor of somewhere, maybe. I mean, that's you know, because they don't care because Kasich didn't enter into it. It was just everyone thought it was going to be Cruz and Rubio, and maybe Trump was going to be there as the spoiler for a while to split the votes. That's. No one gave a shit about Kasich, and no one gave a shit about Sanders. Sanders people gave a shit about Sanders. I gave a shit about Sanders, but no one else cared. And seriously, in America, this close to when we fought in Vietnam over socialism, the idea that like independents and right-leaning libertarians who hated Trump and all these people would actually like be like, "Yeah, I'm going to vote for the socialist," is insane. There's absolutely no reason to believe that would happen. So many people are like, but Bernie's message is so populist, and they would really benefit all of them. It's like, yeah, Trump's message is really populist, and it's going to screw all of them, but they still voted for them. I think you're overestimating people's sanity level.
Yeah.
Like, American voters are low-information voters across the board, like, regardless of the party. We vote on wedge issues. We vote on memes. I mean, Trump is the first meme-elected president, people have been saying, and it's that all that shit, that fucking Facebook, Twitter, 4chan, Reddit, memery has whittled this contest down into like these little bite-sized pieces of bullshit that everyone just looked at and was like, yeah, I believe that picture of Hillary with those bold, you know, white text above it that talks about Benghazi. Yeah, I believe that today. That's my thing. And there's no reason to believe those things.
The fact that Ben Carson said that Hillary Clinton was in league with actual Satan and it got traction at all is enough for you to know that, yeah, you're right, low information voting.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
it's almost at this point, no information.
I see that as a positive, actually, if she was.
Well, yeah, you think she would have done better.
That accusation.
Apparently, my vote wanted to win himself.
That accusation actually made the rounds again last weekend because Alex Jones had started. He did a newscast. He did, if you want to call what he does as a newscast, he did a newscast that got some traction, saying that her and John Podesta were attending a satanic dinner party at some high priest of the satanic church's house. And he had the video and the photos to prove it. And
sweet.
It was completely and utterly false.
Awesome.
Essentially, there was a performance artist who did some kind of piece involved fake blood, and automatically that little tidbit of information was extracted out as satanic dinner party. It was nowhere near what they said, but people were like, "Do you believe this? She's attending a satanic mass this weekend," and people actually passed it around online.
Yeah, they want to believe that.
I mean, I don't know how much damage that did. Probably very little, but enough people bought it. But again, these are people that already. They came to that already absolutely despising everything about her. So it wasn't like, you know, they hated all these things and they go, yeah, but this is a little far-fetched. They're like, anything negative, she's actually a minotaur. I believe it. Take those pants off. Let's see those hooves. I mean, that's how absolutely ridiculous.
Let's see your birth certificate, Beelzebub.
Yeah, I mean, like, can you prove you haven't come from underneath the ground? No, I cannot prove to you. I mean, Alex Jones said that she smelled like sulfur, proving that she's the devil, or she is a demon from actual hell.
I mean, he's insane. Even my mother, who's crazy, had said something to the effect of, she's like, well, Alex Jones is a little much.
Little?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, there you go. Yeah. I found your limit.
All right, so moving into underrated, and for me, I'm going to go ahead and say underrated would be, you know, the opposite of everything we've all been just ranting about for the last few minutes is the whole, you know, down ballot vote. Like, it's bad enough that he won, but the simple fact that they still control the Senate and the House is what terrifies me even more so. And it's just like nobody seems to be complaining and bitching about that. And maybe I'm just, I mean, I'll admit I don't spend a lot of time on the Facebook, but I feel like that's being highly downplayed. But let's remember that the last time that that happened, we went to war, they deregulated Wall Street, and they cut taxes on the wealthiest 1% twice.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what spearheaded us into the 2008 crash, and now we're just setting the pins back up for Trump to do it. And it doesn't seem to be getting, like, no one seems to care about that. It's always like, well, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see a lot of people bitching about that, and that's what bothers me the most.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact there was an ideological loss is what's really hitting people first. The idea that someone who was so blatantly racist and homophobic and nationalistic and all these things won, that like essentially the branding of our country has changed to something horrific to anyone else notice looking at it. And it's like so upsetting to anyone that would have to be something we have to deal with. So that is the thing. But I think the reality of that is starting to set in. I mean, Republicans are always, speaking of branding, have always kind of branded themselves as the party of fiscal responsibility, but they're always terrible with money. They always do the worst job.
Yeah.
Like, the economy always suffers under Republican presidents, and now they're going to have, you know, all three branches of government, essentially, once Trump gets his Supreme Court nomination in, and the damage that they get to do for at least 2 years, if not 4 to 8, I mean, the House is not going to go to the Democrats anytime soon. There's no way. The gerrymandering is just too bad. There's no way Democrats can win the way the districts have been drawn up in the House. It's just the Republicans and the Republican governors that won during the 2010 midterms carved up the country in such a way that it's just impossible now for Democrats to get a hold of the House for at least a decade. There's just no way. Senate is still up for grabs, and there's a lot that can totally work because things aren't carved up that way. The House is done. I mean, that's done. We're never getting that back. So yeah, there's so much damage that's going to be done, and it has very little to do with the fact we have the worst person possible in the country possible as president.
Not to mention the murderer's row of unintellectuals he's getting ready to appoint into his cabinet. I mean, the names I have seen is startling, to say the least. When I saw Sam Brownback has got a shot at something, I'm like, the guy who bankrupted Kansas? Really? You gotta be... He entered that off. He entered the governor's mansion in Kansas with a surplus and has tanked that place horribly. And yet they continue to vote him in, which is amazing, but he's being considered. Jeff Sessions, last I heard, was possibly going to be Secretary of Defense.
Sarah Palin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think she's the worst.
Jan Brewer is being considered. Apparently Joe Arpaio is lobbying to be considered. And Ben Carson apparently is up for the Education Department, which is so surprising and yet so like, yeah, I get it. I mean, it's complete nonsense, but yeah, okay.
Sure. I mean, he's a buffoon. I mean, he's an incredible neurosurgeon. I mean, he separated those people. That's amazing. He clearly has some skills. He obviously went to medical school, but he does not believe in science. He thinks that the world is 6,000 years old, and he believes, even though there's no evidence, he says, well, that's because God can make it look as old as he wants. There you go. Yeah, why not? Fuck it.
You know, I'm not going to lie, dude. I sometimes wonder if people like that say that shit just for their political careers because they know that there are so many morons in this country that believe that shit. I almost want to hope, I should say, that they pander to those people to get the votes, but I'm hoping deep down they're really not that stupid.
I just don't know. I don't know if Ben Carson's that sophisticated to come up with that. I mean, you listen to him talk, it's this sort of long cavalier of stuff like this, where he, you know, it's just this... I don't see a
Cleveland
mind in there.
No, I was going to say, I don't think Ben Carson is savvy enough to fake this. I think he's sincere, but he's sincere about insane beliefs. And, you know, like I said, I saw a video of Sarah Palin speaking in tongues. And it wasn't like a documentary crew followed her around and, you know, set a stage and hooked up some lights. It was like a YouTube video of her at her church with a pastor on with his hand on her head, and she was speaking in tongues and like convulsing around like a maniac.
That's amazing.
And she's going from I quit to hey, have a job, an awesome job that you're gonna have decision power. She's not. I'll just yeah. It is going to be the, what is it, was it the 1927 Yankees that they referred to as the murderer's row?
I don't even know.
It was like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio. Yeah, it's going to be a murderer's row of unintellectuals, like on a level I don't think we've ever seen. I didn't even mention Newt Gingrich and Giuliani. It's like we're digging back into the 90s, going, hey, remember how sucky the 90s were? We're going to bring that back because that rules.
Yeah, Chris Christie, possibly soon to be in prison, is in charge of Donald Trump's transition team.
Yeah, he's going to be Attorney General.
Yeah, and let's not forget that Donald Trump is about to be in court for Trump universities, and then next month he'll be in court for raping a 13-year-old.
No, that's been dropped.
That's not what I read yesterday.
Okay, has that been dropped, or did she just refuse to speak that day? Because I think that's what happened.
I read
she didn't want to go public.
December 16th, as far as I know, the date is set in New York.
I read yesterday that the lawsuit's been dropped because the harassment got so bad that she's frightened for her life. That's what I read.
That could be, but he's still going to be in court, I believe, next week for Trump
University. Oh, yeah, that's happening. But as far as I could...
But, you know, Hillary's the criminal because email.
95.
from what I read, that lawsuit has been thrown out because, yeah, she was, and it wasn't like his people harassing her. It was like just lunatics from all over the place, like sending death threats over the internet and phone calls and all kinds of stuff. So she was terrified and decided.
Well, this, let's face it, this country is always kind of taken rape very, very lightly. They almost to the point of promoting rape culture. It's pretty disgusting. You know, everyone wants to sit here and talk about all the Middle East countries and it's deplorable how they treat their women. Are you joking? Have you seen the shit that goes on in this country? What was that college kid just a few months ago? And his dad was like, well, why should his life get ruined for a few minutes of fun? Oh, no, you just ruined that girl's fucking life. You know what I mean? Like, that girl is scarred for a fucking long time, if not forever. Her life will never be the same, and you're worried about this cocksucker's future? You're a piece of shit. Sorry.
No, because if he does it once, he's going to do it again.
I guarantee that wasn't the first time, and it definitely won't be the last.
Yeah.
Because people like that feel like they're entitled to do whatever they want, especially to women. And most people in this country, I feel, are okay with it. Which goes back to what I said earlier. I don't feel like this is the place for me anymore. I know I've said it a lot over the last few years, but like, if I ever have more than $5 to my name, I am gone.
I feel like it's not so much that they feel it's okay as much as it is they go, well, why is it bad here, but it's okay over there?
Look at the way she dressed. She was asking for it. Well, I'm sorry. Did she literally say, hey, I want you to have sex with me? Because if she didn't say those exact words, no, she did not ask for it. You're a piece of shit. And you're going to run the country one day, apparently.
6 more weeks.
Yeah.
This is actually what I'm going to piggyback off of your thing. I don't know if it wasn't really your main point earlier, but my underrated for this is actually universal basic income.
I totally forgot that we were still doing over-under. My bad.
Oh, you know what? I wanted to add an overrated, actually. All the, like on Channel 9, I was watching the news that Wednesday morning, and they were showing tweets from people, and I see a bunch that said, well, you Democrats had the chance and you blew it, so whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, are you... I'm like, that's something a little kid says.
Yeah.
You guys had a chance and you blew it, and now it's our turn. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, he was blocked with everything he tried to do. It's amazing that we've came this far.
I know. They held their breath and stamped their feet for 8 years, and now do they expect... Everyone else, they expect Democrats to do that to them now? Like, I don't think that's going to be the way it's going to work.
I hope it is. I hope that they've never seen more filibusters in their life. I hope somebody filibusters the swear-in.
they get someone to do the, like, they get a priest to do the, you know, whatever the word is, invocation? I can't remember the word.
Invocation?
Maybe. But then he just talks for like four straight days. Like, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because then what are you going to tell the priest to get off the stage? Like, these people can't do anything. But I have no idea where we are.
I was starting my underrated, but...
Oh, so we're underrated. Okay, so you were doing universal basic income.
Yeah, I mean, it's a topic that's being bandied about a little bit here and there, and it's starting to pick up a little bit of steam. And I saw it mentioned a few times yesterday, because, like we've said, this idea that he's going to bring coal jobs roaring back to West Virginia, and he's going to bring manufacturing. He's going to literally single-handedly reach over the border into Mexico and just grab manufacturing and just plop it back here in Pennsylvania and in... you know, Southern Illinois and all these, you know, other states that, you know, he's going to go grab Carrier at the border and go, you're not going anywhere. Get back to Indianapolis right now. Like, he's just going to have that ability is so... the amount of time it would take to do that is so unbelievably... It would take forever. It would never happen because the laws have been made so companies can just freely leave. And part of me thinks that maybe this whole idea of having countries and so on is kind of outdated, maybe. Maybe we should just, and I know a lot of people would freak out, and maybe we should just eliminate these borders, and then we don't have to worry about carrier going to Mexico, because Mexico, the United States can't all, I mean, this is a huge way out there idea, and I mean, I could go on that forever, and probably didn't think it out very well. But the whole thing, the whole idea of universal basic income is going to become a thing that has to happen. My concern is that we'll wait until it's way past the point of implementing it to start seriously talking about it, when there's like literally tent cities all over the country because people have lost their jobs to robots, machines, or just the fact that these jobs are, that jobs are outdated. So I feel like if we're gonna start implementing robots into all these jobs, and we're gonna start slowly. Because here's the thing, people don't want to get educated, and we can't make people read, we can't make people critically think, we can't make people be analytical, we can't make people want to be smart, and not everybody's, sorry, cut out to go to college. So we have to find a way for those people to be able to exist and thrive on some level. If we take away all of their jobs, they're not going to suddenly go, well, I didn't really want to go to work, so I guess I'll just stay home and wait to die.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of what is going to happen, we just need a new kind of economy someday at some point.
Right.
I talked to Miles about this. I mean, Miles is a communist, so he has his own opinions. He's a communist in the way that like Star Trek is a communist mm-hmm. economy. You know, the Earth in Star Trek, it's a worldwide communism, and he loves that. He's an interesting guy to talk to about that stuff.
I listened to an episode of Geek's Guide to the Galaxy where they talked at length about the Star Trek economy, and I was just like, that could work if people would be considerate instead of just reacting and, you know, let something sink in, think about the specifics, and then start to formulate an opinion. Instead, you just pitch the title to somebody and they just react. And then at that point, you've lost the rest of the argument because they're not going to listen to the details. So my thing with the universal basic income is we have to start seriously considering it for the future, and we have to get out in front of it and get it out there in some incremental way over the course of time, so it's already in place before these jobs start going away.
Yeah, there'd have to be some sort of protections on it, or we'd have to put as much thought into it that like the framers put into the Constitution, because my fear of it, because it is like it started off as a very like a libertarian idea. And the idea was that you would get rid of all public services, like food stamps and free clinics and all those sort of things that like the government might set up. Free clinics is not a good example, but I mean, any of those sort of services, those would just go away entirely, and everyone would just be given like, you know, a couple thousand dollars every month. So now there's no safety net, but you're getting a couple extra thousand dollars. And I think about that, I was like, all right, cool, fine, whatever. I don't think it's a good idea, but maybe. But then what do you do when, if there's no... say there's no rent control or there's no control on cost of food, all these corporations could be like, oh, Snicker bars are now $100. Sorry. You guys get extra $1,000 a month. Who cares? I mean, I guess my thing is, what's to stop people with money, like landlords or anything, from just being like, oh, your rent was $1,000 a month? Well, you get $1,000 for free from the government, so now it's $2,000. Like, what's to stop them from just siphoning all that money off people who don't have the power to fight against people, you know, putting that on them? Like, so there has to be something like that. There has to be some way of being like, you know, no longer can this is not like, you can't just be like, this extra $1,000 a month is now zero, you know, and now there's no safety net. So now it's like, you get your $1,000 a month, first month make sure you buy a gun because you're gonna be robbing a lot of people in a couple months. Like, that's gonna be your basically your job 24/7, robbing white people. And I'm into it. I've totally supported. No, because so that's my only fear of the universal basic income, is there has to be protections involved so we can make sure that that does not become the new zero, you know?
Well, I'd like to say that in that scenario with the, well, now you get more money, so we're raising the price on everything, that's still based on a very, very much a capitalist society. And if we ever move to some kind of mincome, I would imagine that the economy will have changed by then, because those two things can never exist together.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, capitalism's done anyway. Like, we're living in the death nail or the death rattle of capitalism. I mean, there's just, it just can't keep going this way. There's just no way. I mean, that's why we're fighting wars. That's why people in the Middle East are suddenly really excited about, you know, their dumb god or whatever and getting mad at everyone and blowing shit up. It's all based around money and power and people being played against other people. And it all comes from capitalism. It's a garbage poison system and needs to go away. I mean, I don't know if there's a better one. I really don't. I'm not an economist. I'm not smart, but...
No, I mean, I'm not saying let's, like, implement universal basic income, problem solved, and, you know... But that's why I said, like, they need to start implementing it and working out, like, a serious framework for how it will work and how the economy will work in conjunction with it, so we don't have that problem where, you know, oh, you get $2,000 a month, but it's actually only worth, like, $5.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think anyone who would go as far as to get that implemented on a you know, federal scale will have considered all these things. I can't imagine that wouldn't happen. It's just my initial fear. I just think, like, we already don't really put any restrictions on the wealthy and the powerful at all as it is. So what's to stop them from being like, I think this is a great idea. and then this is what we get. So,
yeah, I think my thinking on it is that if we were to eventually, and this is years and years and years in the future, but if we were to eventually get to that place, there's not going to be a need to aggressively be capitalistic the way we are accustomed to now, because of the fact that nobody's going to be competing for jobs, nobody's going to be looking to cut salaries and benefits because no one's going to be theoretically working anymore. Everybody's going to just be given enough money to live a comfortable life and nothing more, and then anything they do with their free time is completely up to their own whims. So there won't be like a thing where people are going to be moving across the country for a new job anymore, and people aren't going to be, you know, moving to a bigger house or a bigger this or that or whatever. This is all theoretical. I mean, I'm probably like falling apart.
I was going to say, people are still going to, I mean, work.
Some.
Not everyone's going to quit.
Some.
Well, I'm just saying this, there has to be some form of taxes in order for the government to be able to give everybody that money.
I mean, maybe it'll be credits too. Maybe it's not even money anymore. Maybe it's
the cashless, you know, society.
I mean, we start talking about this. I really worry about, you know, the dystopian version of this is Judge Dredd, though.
Yeah.
But you put humans involved in anything, it's going to turn into a giant shit pile. But yeah. I think we are smart enough, and we have an open enough communication with the world, and it's not perfect yet, but it's getting better. I think there's enough collaboration that's going to be able to figure this out at some point. I do have some confidence that that's something that will be figured out. And I think a universal basic income of some sort, whether it's actual money, whether it's credits, whether whatever it is. I mean, because when it comes down to it, we're still the only value money has is the value we put into it. It is just like it is nothing. I mean,
yeah, it's just an agreed upon value is all it is.
Mm-hmm. Like it still comes down to like that. I want a PlayStation Pro, you know, PS4 Pro now. And I got to look and like be like, oh, okay, $300. So someone's going to be making that. That person's going to be getting, you know, levels of comfort and living to be able to produce it. It's just, I mean, we could go on and on. And I'm getting way off the rails, but yeah, so.
Sorry. I had a point and I lost it. I forgot what I was going to say.
I had
so
a
many
point
thoughts now. Right now in my stupid face.
I had a point earlier to tie that underrated to something else, and I lost it a long time ago, so. Just be ready for the robot overlords, that's all.
Yeah.
Is this thing on?
This is going to be our most unpopular podcast in the history of unpopularity.
I think it's super interesting. Are you kidding?
No, I think it is, but I think other people would be like, oh, God, this again.
I know, right?
Can't you guys talk about Blue Beetle for 1 week?
Well, I mean, if you listen closely, you can hear Chris playing video games.
Oh, how'd you know?
Because I can hear the clicking. How did I know?
Oh, sorry. I had the controller all the way up. I'm playing Strider.
Do you have an underrated?
I don't know if there is an underrated, whatchamacallit. I think everyone's rage is pretty much in...
Did you have one?
No, I don't really.
Damien?
I don't really have one.
Or did you kind of... Did we talk about one with you, or did you just... We just
who
rambled.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I didn't do it, but I mean, it's my one. It's fine because we've actually covered it so many times. the post-election rage, the thing is underrated about it, I think it's just the rage. I think it's awesome that everyone is so angry right now. It's so therapeutic for me to know that I'm not crazy, I'm not alone, or if I am crazy, it's because I care about stuff that maybe isn't important to everyone else. I love the rage. I think this first few days that I've been like irrational and insane and using the word like fuckwit and moron and dipshit like for every post has been awesome and great, and I'm going to probably stop doing it shortly because I'm starting to notice it. I had someone basically be like, hey, don't call people.
That's like, you know, Archie Bunker's wet dream right now.
Well, I had people saying like, hey, you know, these people voted for Trump. Don't call them dipshits. I mean, that's really divisive. And I was like, dude, fuck you. How's that for divisive? I was like, don't fucking high road me right now. I don't need that shit. I was like, give it a couple days. And if I'm still doing it, then you can be like, hey, dude, calm down. Like, wait till it's an inappropriate response to a situation. Right now, this is incredibly appropriate.
Right.
Very healthy. And I'm just the rage, I think, is healthy and beautiful. We've had protests in Chicago and Seattle and Philly and New York, Houston, just giant protests, just fucking filling the street with people. They're just furious. And it's been beautiful.
I do.
It's like, why don't we get this all the time?
I do kind of want to touch on that only because it's a fucking done deal. Like, you can protest all you want. He ain't going to be like, all right, you know what? Never mind. You guys are super pissed. I'm stepping down. It ain't going to happen. That energy needs to be turned into midterms and preparing somebody who can actually win from 4 years.
It does it. You're right. I mean, there is a thing. There is the idea that this would, like, there's that concept of getting it out of your system. Like, right. I really hope that's not what this is. This shouldn't be getting out of your system. This should just be... I mean, there was a woman last night in Seattle who people were talking about who was just marching, and at one point she just sat down on the ground and just screamed into the street. And it was just like, yes, that, right there. Like,
it's kind of appropriate, yeah.
Yeah, like, do that. Just show everyone how furious you are. Show the world how furious we are. Because otherwise, I mean, only thing anyone ever gets is what's curated to them. I mean, the news is curated to everyone now. I mean, the people curate they curate themselves too. They're like, oh, I don't like CNN or whatever, which I don't really care for CNN either. So I only listen to Fox News, and they equate the two as if it's like the same value of reporting. And people do that with everything in their lives. So just to like do something big and loud and noisy enough that it can't be ignored is so important. Like, people need to be screaming and upset, but at the same time, they better not be getting it out of their systems.
Right.
Anyway, that's all I got.
Well, since we're talking about all that, and I do live in Chicago, so I was actually I was literally 20 minutes away from one of those protests, and here's how... I kind of feel like I'm almost a piece of shit, because there's been a lot of protests here lately, and part of me wants to be like, dude, I should be down there, I should be standing with these people, I should be, you know, venting my frustration, plus... I could bring my camera and I can probably snap some amazing pictures and this can be a whole thing, but God, I just, man, like, I got to put pants on and then I got to drive like 30 minutes. Like, what if there's no parking? So, you know,
I mean, you guys do this, you guys do mini podcasts. You definitely contribute to the human experience. I think it's fine.
Seeing that, like, it's already erupting into violence in both directions, albeit one direction's contributing way more to it. I don't think the protests are going to accomplish what the immediate want is, which is to get him removed from this future.
Oh, it won't. It won't. I don't think anyone here thought that either. I think I honestly think it was just a reaction. It was just anger in persona.
Oh,
like,
it's rage in its purest form.
You know? No one thinks there's going to be anything coming from it. I mean, some people are saying, while you're protesting, you're just, you know, depleting police resources in a city that was clearly not going to vote for him in the first place. Like, you're tapping resources. And that's a very, like, logical, I think, pragmatic way to sort of look at it. But if we just sit around and just be like, well, you know, we were never going to vote for him in Chicago or Seattle, like, so we're fine. Like, it just comes off real elitist and, like, you just don't give a shit. Because you go out there and you're screaming and you're yelling and you're furious. You're not just furious for you. You're furious for everyone else in the country. I mean, there's gay kids in Lincoln, Nebraska right now who are just like, fuck.
No,
what can we do? Like,
that I agree with. Yeah. I think what I kind of felt was like people taking the streets, jumping on buses and so on and so forth. all you're doing is giving ammunition to the other side to go, see, see, there you go. Because I saw a ton of it today.
Yeah, no, we had that too. We have these little fucking anarchist kids who are just, they're just dicks. And they, every time there's a protest, they show up and break shit. And but the crowds themselves are pretty good at self-policing. They were like, some dude showed up with one of those God hates fag signs, you know, of course, because they're, again, the other kind of person who's always attracted to a protest is the insane Christian. I mean, it sounds redundant, but I mean, more insane than normal. And he had like one of those signs, and people just like attacked him basically and tore a sign to shreds and threw it on the ground and were yelling at him. And other people were like, hey, he has a right to be here. And I guess this one lady was like, sir, you're a moron and you're just dumb as fuck, but you totally deserve to be here. And then we should not have destroyed your sign. Like, I'm sorry people did that to you. Like, understand, we don't all react that way. I mean, you're ridiculous and totally wrong and stupid. But we shouldn't have done that. I mean, my wife was telling me about it. She's like, it was great. This woman was just really apologizing heartfelt to this guy and just taking the moment to also like let him know that he was the worst person in the world, but also that no one had a right to like do that, to silence him, because no one should feel like they should be silenced in this country. I mean, most countries don't get to pick their leaders, you know, and a lot of countries don't get to act dissatisfied when the leader they want don't like. I mean, there's a lot of, over the last couple of years, we saw places all over the Middle East and Eastern Europe get squashed very violently by the state. So, and we've got it pretty good in a lot of ways here.
Yeah.
Now we have one of their puppets installed as our president, but still.
Yeah, I was going to say for now, because like earlier today when I first, you know, saw what we were going to be doing for Over Under, I was like, oh, I bet you, you know, underrated could be like all the fantastic comedy that'll probably come out in the next 4 years. But then I'm also thinking, this is the same guy that wants to throw journalists in prison.
He's not going to be able to do that.
We'll see. I don't
know. Look, Logan.
I mean, yeah. Literally.
Come here. You want to play?
The second he realized he was losing a certain state, he filed a lawsuit about the, against the state.
Yeah, no, he's incredibly litigious and only speaks that language. It's bad. I mean, it's super bad. I can sit here and try to keep thinking about how maybe this isn't like that big a deal.
No, he's the epitome of what's wrong with this country.
Yeah,
in every way. But whatever. Does anyone have a best thing ever? Because I am fucking tapped out right now.
Doctor Strange. That was really nice. I completely forgot about the election for 2 hours. I recommend everyone go see that movie or any movie or sleep extra, whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, maybe
drink more.
I bought the hardcover of Scott Snyder and Jeff Lemire's Swamp Thing about, almost a year ago now, because I got it really cheap on Barnes & Noble. I finally broke it out, started rereading it again last night because I had read the first 6 issues when it first started, and it's as good as I remember. Some of the most beautiful panel. It's not quite as, I guess, esoteric as Alan Moore's and not quite as kooky as Len Wein's. It's kind of just a straight horror adventure comic with some DC trimmings around the edges.
Cool.
But Yannick Paquette and whoever else does the artwork, because there's like 9 artists on this book, some of the most gorgeous panel layouts I've ever seen in my life. And as much as people tout Scott Snyder's American Vampire, which is great, or his run on Batman New 52 era, I really feel like Swamp Thing is his unsung gem. I mean, that thing is close to a masterpiece. And I mean, it's a mainstream comic, but it's really fucking good and just gorgeous.
I love Swamp Thing, so.
Oh, I totally do. And this is, like, dare I say, my favorite run of Swamp Thing.
I will check it out. I saw you posted that picture, and I was like, oh, that does look good. I keep meaning to read that. It's just, I missed it when it came out, and I feel like, I feel like I missed it, but no, I didn't. It's clearly there available for me, so I will check that out, because I've been dying to read that.
Yeah, I mean, the book retails for $50, but I think if you buy it from, like, Amazon, it might be, like, $30, so... For 18 issues plus like 3 issues of Animal Man that Swamp Thing appears in, all told it's like 21 issues in one hardcover, so I think I paid like $33 for it, and I don't feel like I overspent at all, and I got it cheap, so. But yeah, I literally just buried my face in that thing last night. I'm like, if we're going to have Swamp Thing for president, I'm going to go read the Swamp Thing that I like.
That's awesome. Real quick, my other addition to my best thing ever is this bookstore was having a 40% off used books, and I went to their graphic novel section. They didn't have a ton at that point, but they had that Craig Thompson graphic novel, Blankets.
Ah.
Which everyone says is really beautiful and heartbreaking.
Yes.
I got it for $6.
Jesus.
So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's.
I was very stoked.
I was looking at that for a while.
That is absolutely worth $6.
Yeah.
You almost made it sound like a piece of shit.
No, it's really, it is really good. I paid $3 for mine, but mine had a big rip in it. I bought it when Half Price Books first opened.
Fucking savages. What do people do to books? I don't understand. Drives me bonkers.
They grab one side of the cover and they hold it and they shake it and they dog ear it.
Bend it around the back and they highlight shit. Like, oh my God.
You people are animals.
Right? I don't know, whatever.
Can I borrow your movies? No, you may not borrow anything.
Yeah. The worst was I let somebody borrow, because he had never seen it, I let him borrow The Shawshank Redemption. And when I got it back 6 months later, there were teeth marks in it because his dog was chewing on it. And he still didn't watch it.
I remember that so clearly. I was like, how to put it well? What did you think at least? I don't know. Didn't watch it.
Unreal.
Oh, that's funny.
Anywho, I guess an hour and 40 minutes is probably long enough for us today, so we're just going to get out of your hair, and hopefully we'll be back with less depression next week. Until then, you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge. You can find Damien at Damien Johnston. And you can find us all on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. Until then, try to have a good week.